That is the grace of contentment. Paul said he knew how to be full, he knew how to be empty, but he could do all things through Christ, which strengthens him. So regardless of whatever set of circumstances that we are in this day, truly, our Heavenly Father leads us along. I'm going to ask today that you take your bulletins, and on the back of the bulletin, I'd like again, for purposes of exercise and getting our attention focused, to have you stand today, and I want you to read with me the text in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we'll be focusing on verse 11 in particular today, but let's start in verse 9. Ready? After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. May God bless the reading of His Word. You may be seated. Today's message will be the sixth in the series of messages on the subject of the Lord's model prayer. We're going to be dealing with prayer's matters, particularly our physical needs. Is it appropriate to pray for the things which we have need of physically? In our study thus far of the Lord's Prayer, or the model prayer, the disciples' prayer, we have completed the invocation to the prayer and the three petitions relating to God's concerns, namely His glory, His kingdom, and His will. In the invocation, Our Father which art in heaven, we were taught to reflect upon our relationship to God as being that of a loving Father with divine heavenly power. In that message, we emphasized that this requires a personal relationship with God. That is, that He becomes our Heavenly Father through a spiritual birth, and that it is not just by a physical birth that God is the Father of all men in the sense in which we are to pray today. So we are to examine what is our relationship to God before we ever begin to go any further in this prayer. He is that of a loving Father, but He is also that who has divine heavenly power. He is in heaven. In the first petition, we came to understand that whatever we ask, say, or do, that the character, the activity, and the position associated with God's name may be glorified in our lives. Hallowed be thy name. Whatever we're going to ask for in prayer, it is to glorify the name of God, to be used for His honor. In the second petition, we were encouraged to pray that God's redemptive rule of grace be advanced in the lives of men until the forces of evil be overthrown and we are perfected in a state of glorification. Thy kingdom come. And then in the third petition, we were instructed to pray that our imperfected lifestyles here on earth may be conformed to the perfected lifestyles of those in heaven. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now we are ready to move into the second set of petitions, which are separate from the first, in that they focus on our human needs, as those needs relate to the glory and the purposes of God. The first three petitions focus upon God's concerns. The last three petitions upon our human needs. And these needs are set forth as being threefold in number, and they cover all of our physical and our spiritual needs. They start first with the physical necessities of the body, our daily bread. And then they advance or proceed to the spiritual needs of forgiveness in order to maintain a cleansed conscience before God. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then the third petition ascends to a life of victory over temptation and evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We'll now consider today the matter of praying for our physical needs as expressed in the words, "Give us this day our daily bread." Now, in so doing, a question arises at the outset as to why Christ deals with the physical needs of the body before the spiritual needs of the soul. We might be prone to think that we ought to start with the spiritual rather than the physical. Why is this the case? I believe the answer can be seen in realizing that man was not created like an angel who has a spirit but no body. The angels are spirit, but they have no physical body. Man was not created like an angel. We read in Genesis 2:7, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." God first created Adam's body, then imparted into that physical body the spirit of life. And thus, my understanding is then that man is a bipart being of a combined with a body and spirit combination that is called a living soul. He became a living soul. Man was created with a material body which has physical needs which must be sustained in order to glorify God. We are alive and we must be kept alive. And my physical needs are the first things necessary if I am enabled to continue my existence in this present world. I must then be concerned, Brother Asa, about my existence and pray about it. Do you pray about your physical existence? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:20 that we are to glorify God in your what? In your body and in your spirit, which are God's. My physical being is necessary to my spiritual well-being. So the order is my daily bread, my forgiveness of sin, and my deliverance from evil. Now let's seek to understand the petition before us today, and we'll do so by examining each of the words, beginning with the word bread. Bread here is used by our Lord and throughout the Scripture in a symbolic way of representing the necessities of life. While it includes food, it also includes all that is necessary for human survival. Man does not live by bread alone. For every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, it is true. But he does have to have bread. And that's more than just food. Martin Luther said, everything necessary for the preservation of this life is bread, including food, a healthy body, good weather, a house, wife, children, good government, and peace. While there is coming a time when God's people will glorify Him in their deaths, John 21:19, Jesus told Peter there would come a time in which He would glorify Him in the way that He died. Until that time comes, God's people are authorized to ask God for all of the physical things necessary to sustain our lives so as to enable us to live and glorify His name. And He's given me enough of that for this very moment. We are not to ask Him just to keep us alive a little longer, but to keep us alive as long as it will glorify His name. Also, this is a prayer for our needs, not for our greeds. It's a prayer for bread, not desserts. It's asking God for necessities, not the luxuries. You say, well, Pastor, how does one know when a requested item turns into a luxury and it's no longer a necessity? Have you ever struggled with that? You're going to get a new car. You're praying about it. Or how do you know that that is something that is a necessity or just a luxury? How do you work out your finances? How do we find a balance of moderation since all believers are exposed to different levels of economic income? You have the beggar Lazarus, and then you have King David. They didn't live the same in the same economic level. And God has not leveled everybody out to be the same economically. So how do we find this balance of moderation where He has put us? Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 30, verses 8 and 9. And here the prayer of Agur helps provide an answer to this question. I'll give you time to locate it. Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9. Here he prays, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny Thee and say, who is the Lord? Or else I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Good advice. Excessive poverty and excessive wealth both provide a temptation to man. How so? Poverty causes discontentment and can lead to stealing someone else's bread. And this takes the name of God in vain. But the excessive pursuit of wealth can lead to self-confidence and no longer feeling one's dependence upon God, so that you rarely ever ask God to take care of your physical needs because you have become so excessively provided for that you forget God. Realize it all comes from Him. And this is also a form of taking God's name in vain. When individuals reach the point where the physical things of this life distract them from living for God's glory, God's kingdom, and God's will, then they should no longer pursue and pray for those things. If your economic situation is such today, whether you are living from hand to mouth, or whether that you have much wealth laid up for a long time to come, if that is causing you to forget God and you're just running on automatic, rarely ever calling upon Him, then it's time to stop praying for those luxuries of life if they're making you forget God. In my 40 years in pastoring, when I was pastoring full time, I can still think of several people that started out in the economic level of just paying the bills as they came in and sometimes late with those. And then God began to bless them. And they became more and more prosperous. And that when they were in that early stage of their existence as I knew them, they were very faithful in reading their Bibles and praying and church attendance. And then, Jim, you've seen it. Wealth comes and you've got to spend time making the dollar. Church attendance begins to fall off. Prayer begins to fall off. Bible reading begins to be neglected. And it isn't long before those individuals no longer are serving God. Just give me enough, Lord, to make me dependent upon You and not forget You. And David could do that with a great amount of economic income. And you can also sin against God by having hardly any income. When you go out and steal somebody else's bread. Now let's add the word daily in front of bread. This informs us to focus on our present needs. We're to renew this petition daily. Did you pray about it yesterday? What about today? We are to rely on God one day at a time. He may give us a vision to plan for work, for which He may call us to do in the future, but His provisions for our needs is daily. Not weekly, monthly, or yearly. I have some things that I plan to do a year from now. But I haven't been given the needs for that time yet. God has promised to provide enough needs for this day to enable Him to be glorified in my life. Is this not the lesson that God taught Israel with the manna in the wilderness? They were to gather the manna how often? One day at a time. If they gathered more, what happened? It rotted. Exodus 16:4. They were but one day away from starvation, and yet they were fed for 40 years. Let us not presume that we have a number of physical years left, and forget to ask God for today's necessities. Money in the bank, no outstanding debts, and good health, is no basis for forgetting to trust God for Him to sustain our lives this day. In Him we what? We live, we move, and have our very being. Luke 12, verses 16 through 21. There Jesus tells the story of the rich fool who trusted in his great wealth to sustain him, and he forgot to trust in God. In verse 19, he said to himself, "Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Then God said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided?" His riches, like the manna, rotted, and they became the property of others. And folks, I don't care how much you got in the bank, the stock market, and your home and everything, it's going to become somebody else's before too long. When you're gone, then people will fuss and fight in court. Unless you're like myself, haven't got a whole lot to fuss and fight over. We live a day at a time. Now let's add the pronoun hour in front of daily bread. This informs us to ask not only for ourselves, but for our neighbors as well. It is our daily bread. It teaches us the grace of generosity. We also ask, now note, for our bread and not that which belongs to others. We do not seek our bread by means of theft, fraud, or borrowing from others or living off of others due to our own laziness. If you steal from your neighbor, try coming home and thanking God for giving you your daily bread. And I'm not just talking about breaking in his house and taking possessions. There's many, many ways of stealing. You can't pray that when you have taken somebody else's bread. A lazy person who will not work to meet his daily needs cannot ask God to meet his needs. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 through 12, Paul instructs his readers, quote, "That if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread." Did you get that? Eat their own bread. We're praying for God to give us our bread, and the ordained means for that to come about is through exerting ourselves in the work effort. We cannot be lazy and ask somebody else to feed us. Now let's add the next expression. This day, our daily bread. When we add the words "this day," it reminds us to trust God to provide as the needs arise. Not necessarily in advance. And oh, how we don't want that. We want our barns to be filled so that we don't have to be concerned not just with today, but we want to know if 7 days, a year out here, everything's going to be all right. And God has not promised us that. He's only promised us a present. A time. This is the only time I can live is right now. I can't recoup the past. I'm not promised a future in this body. This is today, the present. We are to renew our commitment to God each day, acknowledging that we do not expect every day to be the same. Our needs will vary from day to day. And we need grace for this day, this present day. And this teaches us the principle of contentment with God's supplies for whatever set of circumstances His providence has placed us in this very moment. Now, some days will be sunny. Aren't you glad this is one of those physically? Oh, I told my wife in coming in today that that sunshine is worth 1,000 milligrams of aspirin to me with my pain. And I mean that. It's like pouring liquid aspirin inside of me and my body with this fibromyalgia and the diabetes and everything else that I have to contend with. I love sunny days. But not every day is a sunny day. Some days will be cloudy. Some days will be sick days. Days in which I just cannot function. Been there, David? In which that you want to get up and produce that day and there's just so much pain. You cannot function. Not all of you can relate to that with flu and pneumonia and things of that nature in which that you cannot function on a sick day. Some days will be healthy days, those zippity-doo-dah days, and we look forward to those which we feel good. Some days will be economically prosperous. You get a bonus that you hadn't expected. Money comes in. And you're able to have above that which you were expecting for that day. And then some days are going to be economically depriving. The washing machine is going to give out. The transmission is going to go out. And you hadn't anticipated that. And now then, you're behind schedule. Learn to live. This is the way we live in this world. Some days will lift our spirits. Good news from a far country. Our spirits are encouraged. We hear a certain song. Somebody sends us a note in the mail. Somebody gives a telephone call. Or just a spoken word here. And it lifts our spirits. And then some days we're cast down our spirits. You're having a good day. And then you meet somebody in the road who's having a bad day. And let me tell you what I'm going through today. Doesn't take a whole lot of time for your spirit to begin to droop when you come across a person who's having a bad day. This is the way life is. Give us this day enough physical necessities that we can use whatever set of circumstances we are in to hallow Your name, advance Your kingdom, and do Your will here on earth as it is in heaven. Did not our Lord glorify His Father in heaven in His ultimate day of suffering on the cross? Said He did always the things which pleased Him. This is My Son. I'm well pleased in Him. And yet it was, from the human standpoint, a bad day. A bad day. When we are enabled to learn contentment, it will give us victory over worry and anxious care about tomorrow's bread. Right now, as I'm speaking, some of you are letting your mind wander. You've got something facing you this week on Tuesday or Thursday, and your mind is absorbed with that. Pray a short prayer right now, all right? Lord, captivate my mind and its thought processes to listen what the spokesman that you have sent this way. Philippians 4:11 through 13, Paul says, I have learned in whatever state I'm in therewith to be what? Content. I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound, that is, full or empty. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Whatever day, Paul says that God's providence brings that day, I've learned that this is the day the Lord has made for me. I'm here to hallow His name, to advance His kingdom, and to do His will. And that was even done from a prison when he was confined. Now, Brother Asa, this helps me on my sick days. To ask for grace to enable me to glorify my Lord's name in the eyes of others. And I have to struggle with this. One of the ladies asked me this morning how I was feeling. And there are times, Brother Bob, in which I wish people wouldn't ask me that. Because I either got to lie, and I don't want to do that, or I got to tell the truth. And if I tell the truth, it'll take 30 minutes. For them to listen to how I'm feeling. I told the lady that I've got 1,000 milligrams of aspirin in me right now, and I'm able to function. But oh, can we not pray that whatever state that we're in this day when it comes to our health, that we can still give a testimony that God is good? Do we have to be on the mountaintop? Do we have to be a specimen of perfect health? Do we have to be without pain? Do we have to be like the angels? Do we have to be like the departed saints in heaven before we can glorify God here on earth this day? No, we do not. So we pray for grace. Lord, whatever set of circumstances I'm in this day, economically or health-wise, emotionally, physically, Lord, grant me the necessities I need this day that when I meet somebody, I can still glorify Your name. I can still advance Your kingdom. I can still do Your will here on earth. That's why Bob ever so often here sees us out here on Sunday morning and why he says, smile when you sing, huh? Boy, you want to take something out of a preacher? Sit there like a knot on a log. One of the ladies asked me this morning, what would you do if I said amen? I said I'd faint. But I said, if you do, you're going to have to move up here to the front because I can't hear you. With 2 hearing aids, I wouldn't hear you anyway. God help us this day . It not only helps me on my sick days, but it helps me on my healthy days to thank God for His mercy and blessings. I must not forget God in the sunny days, that when He gives me a good day, I must not forget Him. It helps me as I grow older. I'm approaching 67 now. So Somebody called this past week and asked how I was feeling. Another one of those smart aleck preachers, you know. And I said, well, I don't know what to say. I'm 67 years old. I've never been 67. I don't know how a 67-year-old is supposed to feel. When those days roll on in the calendar, and now mine's coming up, I'm not 67 yet, okay? June 29th, okay? Put that down on your calendar. And if you want to send a card and a $5 bill, why, that will make my day. Don't forget that. If you write down things in your Bible, well, write that down right now. Gable's birthday. But as I grow older, I watch my abilities of mind and body diminish. So help me, around the house, I believe I spend at least 60 minutes each day trying to find things that I've misplaced. And my wife, I phone her about 3 times while she is downtown 20 miles away at the law firm. Carolyn, what have you done with this? And I go into one room to do something, and I see 3 or 4 things in there that need to be done. And I do one thing, and then I forget what I went in there originally to do, and I'm just running from one room to the other. I see a lot of smiles going on in you old people. You youngsters aren't going through that yet. You aren't going through that yet. But I'm recognizing that my body and my mind are diminishing in their capabilities. Now then, I must recognize that and realize I'll never be what I was when I played baseball again. I'll never have the mind that I used to have in high school and college. I'll never have that. That's never going to be again. Now, rather than bemoaning that fact and wishing that I was back there, I'm to use whatever state of mind and body God has given me today to glorify Him. Give us this day our daily bread. I must not live in the past on yesterday's bread, wishing I were young again, but to use the remaining abilities God has given me to hallow His name this day. And then this idea, give us this day our daily bread, will help me when death approaches. I think I've done this here in this church before. I'll do it again today. If God somehow spoke to you directly and told you that you had 10 minutes left to live, and that sunk in, where would your mind immediately go to? What would you start thinking about? And if you would be like most, you would start thinking about the things you were going to have to leave behind or left undone, rather than the things which are about to lie ahead, it reveals that we have driven our tent stakes too deep in this present life. Oh, we can sing the songs when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be. Would you rejoice if God told you you had 10 minutes left to live? Or would you be bemoaning the fact you'd have to leave your wife, your husband, your job, your church, your children, all of that? Or would you start thinking about the prospects of what lies ahead for the child of God? I must not regret losing the privileges associated with this present life, but I must look forward in faith, believing that there is a better day ahead in the life to come. I must go out with Abraham looking for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I must say with Paul, for me to live is what? Christ. And to die is gain. It's a promotion. That's the Christian outlook toward life. So I must not allow what has happened in the past to rob me of the joy of this daily bread that I stand in need of this hour. Now let's put the next words, give us this day our daily bread. The words give us express the cry of a person who realizes that they need help and is dependent upon somebody else to give it. It's asking God for help. And our old pride flesh that comes from fallen Adam cringes to have to do that. We don't even like to ask for our neighbors and our family to help. We want to be so independent and self-sufficient that we think it's a shame to have to ask for help. Jesus said, "Give us this day our daily bread." Well, I don't want to be a hindrance to my children. And I don't want them to have to take care of me when I grow old. I've told some of you this before. I've already informed my kids that when I grow old and I'm in need of some housing, I'm moving in and claiming the master bedroom. I spent 35 years or so in raising those kids. They can take care of me for 2 or 3 years or whatever the case is. I have no humility when it comes to that. You know I'm joshing you. But isn't there something in each of our nature that we're just kind of hesitant to have to ask somebody for help? My wife, for example, we can go to the grocery store or department store, and with her timid personality, she will spend 15 to 20 minutes trying to find something when all she has to do is go up to a clerk and ask, "Where is this?" But she doesn't want to bother somebody. Does it trouble you to have to ask God for your physical needs this day? Would you just rather live where that you didn't have to bother praying? Is this perhaps some of the reason why we don't pray more? Give us this day teaches us the grace of humility. Someone may ask, if God knows what things we have need of before we ask Him, why is it necessary to express our needs to Him? Why tell Him things that He already knows? The answer is, I believe we have a wrong view of grace. We tend to think that God, as our Father, gives us the gift of grace in one big lump sum. And once we have received it, we just go on living off of it. But this is not the case. It is through our union with Christ that His grace flows to us just as we have daily need of it. I don't have dying grace today. But if I am to die this grace, that grace will flow from my Savior. If God gives us the gift of grace in one big lump sum, we'd be in danger of enjoying the gift and forgetting the giver. God wants His children, now listen to me, He wants His children to talk to Him on a regular basis. This is an amazing thing, my hearers. The God who made heaven and earth and orders the planets in their orbits likes to hear petitions coming from our lips. It pleases Him to see us coming to Him on a daily basis, expressing our need of Him. Our Father wants us to love Him more than His gifts. Let's suppose that a wealthy banker deposits a large amount of money in the bank for his son to live on. The amount would more than meet the son's needs for the rest of his life. But that banker requires that his son come into the bank office each day to request what he needs to live on for that day. Now, what is this father doing? He's doing two things. One, he's teaching his son dependence upon his father. And two, listen, he's ensuring that his son will talk to him on a daily basis. Give us this day our daily bread. God wants us to talk to Him on a regular basis, Bob. Now let's relate this petition to the present need or existence in the church today. The petition for our physical needs must be subordinated to the three petitions which precede it. We ask, will this petition for daily bread, which I'm about to ask from God, be used to honor His name, advance His kingdom rule in such a way that His will is done here on earth as it is in heaven? Whenever we disconnect this petition from God's name and God's rule and God's will, we begin to pray like selfish pagans and ask amiss. Remember the heathen's prayer earlier in this study? That it focused strictly upon extending the quantity of their life here on earth while maintaining personal peace, prosperity, and well-being. It's all that the religious heathen is concerned about, just staying alive as long as he can, and to use God to get him to do that, to enable him to do it. Far too much of our personal and corporate praying is devoted to our aches and pains apart from God's glory. Now here's where we're about to get our toes stepped on. I'm going to repeat that. Far too much of our personal and corporate praying is devoted to our aches and pains apart from God's glory. We are too much man-centered and not enough God-centered in our praying. We hear such prayer requests as, God, Uncle John has a sore spot on his little toe located on his left foot. He's 92 years old. He can't mow the yard like he used to mow the yard. Oh, Lord, please heal Uncle John's toe so he can do the things that he used to be able to do. And not a word is said about how this would fit into the hallowing of God's name, the advancing of His kingdom, or the doing of His will here on earth. Instead, we should say, Lord, if it will honor Your name, advance Your kingdom, and fulfill Your will, heal Uncle John's toe so he may be able to walk across the street and tell his neighbors about Jesus. Your name, Your rule, Your will, then our physical needs in that order. In our American culture, the religious talk shows have become very popular on TV. In fact, that's where most church people get their theology from today. It's not from the Bible, but from the religious talk shows. And these talk shows primarily promote what is known as the prosperity gospel of health and wealth. This false gospel supposes that, quote, gain is godliness, unquote. Paul said such a belief is, quote, destitute of the truth, unquote, and that God's people are to, quote, withdraw yourself, unquote, from such teachings, 1 Timothy 6:5. Suppose I was the host of one of these shows, Brother Asa. I was able to go back and interview the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness wanderings. I asked Mr. Common Follower of the Lord to come out on the stage and give his testimony of what his daily life is like in the wilderness journey. He proceeds to tell me that times are difficult, but God has been faithful. I ask him, what are you carrying there in your hand? He says, it's a pot of manna. I ask him, where did you get it? He said, God provided it for me this morning. I then ask, well, how long will it last? Just today, he replies. I say, but what about tomorrow? God will supply what I need when tomorrow comes. I then say, must be kind of stressful living one day at a time. And he replies, I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content, and that godliness with contentment is great gain. I look out over my audience and notice that half of them are asleep. And the other half have a bored look on their face. I know I must do something to arouse their interest, or else the ratings on my show will drop. So I tell Mr. Common Follower of the Lord to take a seat over there in the corner. Then I invite out Mr. Super Successful Follower of the Lord. And as he makes his entrance onto the stage, I notice he's carrying a large sack. And something alive is in that sack. Because whatever it is, it's flopping around in the bag, wanting to get out. I ask him, how's things going, Mr. Super Successful Follower of the Lord, here in the wilderness? He replies, hallelujah! Glory to God! God is good! God's blessing! I just feel it all over! I state, I notice you don't have a pot of manna. He says, no, I don't care for that light bread. It has a boring taste. My taste buds like meat, well seasoned. I ask him, what's in your bag? He replies, I'll show you. And as he opens the bag, dozens and dozens of quails fly out into the auditorium. The audience is immediately awakened with great enthusiasm. They're no longer listening to a boring sermon. They're experiencing a living phenomena. And every member of the audience interprets their own understanding of what is reality as he or she attempts to capture a quail for himself or herself. But that reality is based on sensuality. That is what the natural senses is saying is real as opposed to the spoken Word of God. Jude verses 18 and 19. These be they which have not the Spirit, sensual. Sensual means the five natural senses, smelling, hearing, tasting, touching, hearing, seeing. All of those are in our physical bodies, but you do not taste God. You do not touch God. He's a spirit. And so this enthusiastic audience, which lives off of the flesh, interprets sensual things as being spiritual things. And now the boredom is gone. And things are exciting in my talk show. After the quails were all captured, I turned to Mr. Super Successful Follower of the Lord and asked him, "Well, what are you going to do now? All your quails are gone." He replies, "That's okay. There's plenty more where those came from." I did then ask him, "Well, where did those come from?" And he said, "Well, God gave them to me." "Well, how come God gave them to you?" "Well, you see, I learned to pray so that I can now get things from God." "Well, where did you learn to pray like this?" "I learned it from an Egyptian who came out of Egypt with us Israelites. That you have to pray long and repetitiously before God will give you what you want. So whenever I get low on quails, I just pray a long prayer and repeat this prayer. Give me some quails, give me some quails, give me some quails, give me some quails. And I do this 12 times, one time for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And God gives me what I want." I ask him, "Well, sir, what will you do if God runs out of quails? Or if the devil kills off all the quails? What do you do then?" He replies, "Then I'll pack my bags and I'll go back down to Egypt, where I remember eating the fish, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlics." Numbers 11, verse 5. God not only wants me to have life, He wants me to have an abundant life. And I'm certainly not going to be content living one day at a time on a pot of manna like that fellow sitting over there in the corner. God doesn't make no junk. He wants His people to have the very best things out of life. And wherever I have to go to get it, that's where I'll get it. It was then the audience arose in cheers. "We are God's chosen people. We deserve the best." I then asked the audience which of the two men I should ask to return to speak on the next show. And they cried out in unison, "Give us the quail man! Give us the quail man! Give us the quail man!" I replied, "What'll I do with the manna man?" They said, "Away with him! His message is dull, it's boring. Let him rot with his manna in the desert. He's out of date. He doesn't know how to pray and get things from God." Now, which of these two men do you think I will ask back on my show? If I want to be successful and live the abundant life which I want to live. Folks, that is what is occurring in the American religious scene as the prosperity gospel is leading its followers down into the pit of hell. Now, what will a correct understanding of this fourth petition have upon our lives? It will cause us to only ask for physical things that we can use to honor His name, advance His kingdom, and to do His will. And then Brother Jim, when He has finished His purpose with us, He'll call us home to glory. Isn't that a marvelous life? That's the abundant life. That whatever state I'm in, for me to live is to glorify Christ, and then there's coming a time in which I'm going to get promoted. To die is gain. Sunday school teacher asked her class what they had for breakfast. A little boy named Johnny said he had a piece of bread with jelly. Teacher asked where he got the bread. Johnny replied, from mother. Where'd your mother get the bread? She asked. He replied, from the grocer. Where'd the grocer get it? He got it from the baker. Where did the baker get it? He got it from the miller. Where did the miller get it? He got it from the farmer. Where did the farmer get it? He got it from the ground. And where did the ground get it, Johnny? Johnny thought a minute. From God. From God. All of these instruments that supply our physical necessities can be traced back, Brother Bob, to God. Give us this day our daily bread. We're alive today in a physical body with physical needs necessary.